Yes, she's like, parlez-vous français? And they're like, gleep, glorp, nip-nop. Zip, zap, zop, zippity-doo, Jim Carrey.
For that reference, you should go and check out our episode on Earth Girls Are Easy.
And they are in this,
this movie.
Welcome, applauders, to this month's podcast. I'm Lydia Malcolm.
I'm Naomi McQuaid.
And I am Jen McQuaid, and you know what movie we're doing because you clicked on the thing.
Or you listened to our little burb last week.
Thank you for doing so. So, what movie are we doing?
It was 1968's Barbarella.
I may have spite picked this one. I'll be honest.
Look, I mean, you really didn't like House, and I mean, there are reasons to not like House, and now I have had to suffer.
There were parts you liked. There were parts of House I liked. The more I think about the puppetry of the melons, the more I appreciate it.
I mean, I know why I liked House. Yeah. And it's okay if you don't like House.
That's fine. No,
I'm just saying, it's okay if you don't.
It's okay if you don't like Barbarella.
Barbarella.
Yeah, the themes. Oh, no. Like, okay, the soundtrack is like what?
Just the soundtrack?
When I was a space queen.
The government sent me onto a planet full of all these horny guys. And I was a sex idiot, so I was like, I'm down for all this diddling.
It's better than touching hands.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. And applauders, you should know I have two sets of notes because the first time I watched this, I was drunk and I did not have my notebook with me.
Okay.
So I had to record notes on my phone.
Two sets of notes, one that is useful and one that is less than useful, which, hey, been there. If you saw some of my, I mean, like, I was raised by a left-handed dyslexic. My handwriting is not good anyway, but, like, when I'm, like, taking notes super fast, it becomes illegible. So, no shade. No shade. You're fine. Go mm-hmm. go with the one that you want.
Yeah, I went with the ones that I did today.
Oh, so we should talk about how we got here. I don't remember. I remember having had watched it and being obsessed. So much so that before the golden age of the internet, did I make you do this? I'm sure I did. I made you order me an 8x10 of Jane Fonda in a specific outfit from the film. And then I bought the gaudiest, most Hollywood, you know, that green glass type of picture frame that are just so heavy that, like, what is it even about? Like, for a big old 70-year-old's mantelpiece.
Yeah.
And then it almost looks like the Emerald City, but then Jane Fonda is sitting in it, gazing at you in this beautiful outfit. And I had that in the bathroom for forever. Oh, and it was on the back of the toilet. So people who aren't me probably had to stare at it every day.
Jane Fonda's just judging you.
In an appreciative way, I like to think.
What outfit was it from Barbarella?
Mm-hmm.
What outfit was it?
I'll tell you when we get there.
Okay.
Tell you when we get there.
No need for spoilers right now.
Yeah. So how Jen, do you remember how you came here?
You introduced me to this movie.
Sure, I did.
It was you, Naomi.
No shame.
I'm sure we just rented it from a DVD. Like, maybe it would have even been back in the days of Hollywood Video. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it was before streaming.
We Netflixed a lot of stuff.
That's true.
Like back when you could get physical Netflix. I mean, you still can apparently get physical Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that this would have been like top of the list for 16-year-old me and guy friends to watch during my teen years.
Had you known about it?
For my 16th birthday, we rented Barbed Wire and watch
no.
that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Boys is nasty.
No, like if you took out of context all the times I watched something super disgusting with a mixed group of people, boys and girls, and all the in-betweens, right? Like and you were like, hey, Naomi, check out what 16-year-old you is doing. I would like shield my eyes and make noises of the most uncomfortable kind.
We would probably make comments like, oh, come on, is that breast really needed for the story?
And then we'd stare really hard at the boob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm positive it was you. You pulled me into this train wreck of a wonderful, wonderful sci-fi film. It is. It's
you. That being said, like, you drew me into a like Army of Darkness and Evil Dead. Like, I didn't know that existed and I needed it in my life. So we're both.
Jane Fonda, however, was not new to me. My mom would talk about Jane Fonda and the 60s. In this, like, she was the most hated woman in America thing because of her protests against the Vietnam War.
Well, she was an ambassador to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way that people malign Dennis Rodman for having connections and having visited North Korea, like, Jane Fonda, in a more diplomatic way, went to Vietnam. And one of the reasons she was maligned was because she visited a POW camp, right? And they slipped her a list with the names of people who were there. And she had been going down a greeting line and shaking these soldiers' hands. And this is the one anecdote I do remember. And they slipped her the names, right? And when she got to the end of the line, she turned over the piece of paper. And please feel free to fact check me. This is like 20 years ago. Somebody told me this and it stuck in my brain because I was like, but she's on the back of my toilet because I love her. And I don't want to be an ignorant jerk. So like I listened really hard. Anyway, she turns over this piece of paper and who knows what terrible war crimey punishment came down on those soldiers for that. Right.
Right.
But could you imagine what would have happened if they searched her before they left. So how would she? Was she going to keister it in front of them? Like, go to take out a wedgie and shove a piece of paper up her ass? Like, I don't know how diplomacy works like that, but it sounds incredibly complicated, and I don't know.
Right.
But, like, I went to my stepmother, and I was like, I heard these terrible things about Jane Fonda, and I liked her performance in this. Is this the only movie I know of her? And I just like this specific movie. I'm not, like, carrying a torch for this woman, except for in this movie. And she's like, just, it was complicated. It's okay to like Jane Fonda. And that was enough for me to be like, okay. And I have had this uncomfortable love for this movie ever since. I mean, I had it before, but then it was became uncomfortable. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Liz, how'd you come here?
It was for the podcast. And I normally really like the movies we watch on the podcast, but now I'm rethinking life in general. That's an exaggeration. But I have to like Naomi is like was really good with House, and so I feel like I need to get up there really well because
good with House. I feel like I owe everyone an apology.
No, but like your insults were really, it was a fun episode. Okay. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So if you were tortured by House, I have to be tortured by Barbarella.
I mean, it's a sweet, sweet torture. As if I created an elaborate machine to pleasure you and kill you at the same time.
No, not a sweet torture. It's more like okay, I guess, you know, you're putting things underneath my toenails. Okay.
Like bamboo under the nail torture?
I mean, like, maybe that's a little bit crass because we just talked about prisoners of war.
No. We've had several sentences since then. So obviously we're talking about something different.
So, Sean facts!
Yeah, let's go. Let's go there.
Sean facts are as follows. There are 2.5 pages of notes here. Some of this I will be able to get into in scene, but most of this is probably better at the beginning or the end. So we'll see how I split this out. It probably will be unintelligible, but that's just me getting the Sean facts out. The Sean facts themselves are very legible and understandable and awesome. We love you, Sean.
Yeah. Who knew we were going to have somebody with like a master's doing like research for us?
Imagine if the two of us went to college specifically for media studies.
Oh.
Yeah. It would be a completely different show.
Oh, also, Shocked Talk is going to be coming back. I know several of you have asked Where's Shock Talk? You had that for several months and then it just stopped. But Sean and Maddie are back, at least with one or two new things. I think we're going to be picking up on The 13th Warrior. So look for that in the future. Here are our beginning Sean facts for 1968's Barbarella. The budget is somewhere between $5 and $9 million, depending on the website that you look at, which is pretty expensive for the time, I would think.
Yeah, I would say.
That's a Star Wars budget.
So are we going to guess the income? Are we going to guess the...
Yes, guess the box office.
Oh, okay.
100% it made money. I don't have a doubt in my mind. I say that maybe not opening weekend. So it would only take one kid coming home and being like, guys, I saw the greatest movie of all time. I saw so many boobs. Right? If it was $9 million in budget, it made $15 or $20 million.
Lydia?
I'm going to have to go with like $24 million.
Okay. So budget $5 million to $9 million-ish. And we've got basically a range of between 9 and 25, did you say?
She's 24.
24, yeah.
$24 million?
I'm 15 to 20, I would say, somewhere.
And so, we're closest without going over?
Naomi, you're saying 15 to 20. Do you want to put it like halfway?
Let's say it was. Okay, 17.5.
Okay.
Well, both of you were over, so this would have been that doot, 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 doot. Box office is somewhere between 600,000 and 5 million based, depending on the website. And I'll tell you why there's such a disparity.
Yeah.
And in just a little bit. So keep that in the back of your mind because it's another Sean fact in here.
Okay. I'm deeply disappointed by that, and I hope it reaches enough cult status that they've made their money.
This movie was nominated for Best Female Comedy Performance for Jane Fonda by the Golden Laurel Awards, 1970. Barbarella is a 1968 science fiction film directed by Roger Vadim. I hope I'm saying that right. Vadim. V-A-D-I-M. Starring his then-wife, Jane Fonda. So this is sort of like that thing with Mila Jovovich and what's the guy's name? I don't know. For all the Resident Evil movies that were made.
Wes Paul Anderson?
Probably. That sounds right. It's a film.
Accurate. Good job.
Based on the French comic series of the same name by Jean-Claude Forest.
Never read it. Super should.
It's a comic book movie, y'all. All right.
Take that, Wolverine.
This is X-Men Origins. Probably on par with quality, I would say.
And people hate Birds of Prey. My goodness.
They really don't hate Birds of Prey. It's just that the loudest screamers do.
This film is particularly popular in the United Kingdom, where it was the year's second highest grossing film. So if it's the second highest grossing film, you got to have probably higher to that 5 million, and I would think.
Here's the thing. A movie ticket costs like a buck in 1968? Like, you telling me that only like 400,000 fracking British people went to see? No, I don't believe it. It's got to be higher end.
Let's learn a little bit more about the comic. Barbarella was created for serialization in the French Five magazine? I don't know. It's the Roman numeral or the letter. In spring 1962.
It was less than a decade old.
1964, it was published as a standalone book titled Barbarella. The book caused a scandal and became known as the first adult or pornographic comic book, though its eroticism was slight, and the American erotic comic books known as Tijuana Bibles had long predated it. That's a history I really...
That's problematic.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, Jen.
All right. Well, that's what they called them back in the days of, I don't know what racism is. Probably.
If anything, it's doing something for Tijuana. Like, what are you doing?
For her creator, the character embodied the modern emancipated women in the era of sexual liberation, and as a result, this literary work has come to be associated with the mid-20th century sexual revolution.
Through the eyes of a man.
Barbarella.
I always thought that having to deal with the male gaze would be a lot more fabulous. Had layers, Jen.
Barbarella was relaunched as an ongoing series by American publisher Dynamite Entertainment in December 2017. So much like Tank Girl, it just keeps getting renewed and renewed.
Wait, say the last one again?
The comic was relaunched as an ongoing series by American publisher Dynamite Entertainment in December 2017.
You know, I checked that out. Is it digital?
I don't know. We don't subscribe to comics currently.
Huh.
Something that maybe we should do, especially now that we're hooked up with Frolic and they're more of a reading group. Hey, we get to be associated with readers.
Ooh.
Nice.
Are we going to start a book club maybe called Spindles and Alphabets? Sorry. Because Shocked and Applaud, you do the S and the A.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't really line up with this. Never mind.
It was a well-accomplished try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Series and accolades.
Yeah.
Cinema, but spelled like cemetery for Pet Cemetery.
We're going to have some bot say, you misspelled cinema.
Did we talk about that last time?
You did.
Oh, good.
I remember us doing that.
On the English language prints of the film, Anita Pallenberg's voice was dubbed by English actress Joan Greenwood. Who was Anita Pallenberg? Was she
the Great Tyrant?
The Great Tyrant. In her autobiography, Fonda said that Vadim, he began drinking during lunch, his words slurred, and his decisions about how to shoot scenes often seemed ill-considered, like every time somebody had to be filmed through a bubble. I don't know why that was necessary. For psychological effect, maybe. The actress took sick days so the film's insurance policy would cover the cost of a shutdown while the script was edited. So she took time off.
That's smart.
Yeah, so they could do some script editing. Vadim would later state in his memoir that Fonda didn't enjoy shooting Barbarella, specifically that she disliked the central character for her lack of principle, her shameless exploitation of her sexuality, and her irrelevance to contemporary social and political realities.
But it's like the year 44,000.
Yeah, everybody's just like, love, love. We don't have weapons anymore.
Except for these weapons that we happen to have over here.
They came from a museum.
Same with, that's the same with Demolition Man as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of similarities. I'm sure that Demolition Man was just parodying a lot of this.
Right.
But it flipped the script because there was so much prudeness.
Yeah, Demolition Man kind of like took the prude level and turned it up to 11 for comic effect.
And this took the loosey-goosey level and turned it up to, turned it down to negative 11.
I got maybe four of these left before we can start into the plot. So maybe not a comment every time I finish a sentence, but I like the comments. So Barbarella received a condemned rating from the National Catholic Office for Motion Pictures, which called the film a sick, heavy-handed fantasy with nudity and graphic representations of sadism, and criticized the Production Code Administration for approving it. Okay, comment.
Those are all the reasons I like it.
They would really hate the year 2021.
All those theys and thems rubbing their bits together, irregardless.
All right. Remember how I told you there was discrepancy in the box office?
Yeah. What's that about?
Following the success of Star Wars, Paramount theatrically re-released the film in 1977, nearly a decade later, for this release, which was referred to in promotional materials as Barbarella, Queen of the Galaxy, the scenes of nudity were removed. So they got a re-release, and that's why their box office.
That was like 22 minutes long, as opposed to the 98-minute long movie we just watched.
Yes.
So this is like the Deadpool PG-13 of its time.
Yeah. I paid to see that too, though.
All right. Despite frequently using the Barbarella, Queen of the Galaxy title in promotional art, home media releases of the film had been of the uncut version rather than the edited 1977 version. And according to the Los Angeles Times, Barbarella may seem quaint to modern audiences, but its imagery has echoed for years in pop culture. Lisa Eisner of the New York Times called Barbarella the most iconic sex goddess of the 60s. And if there's one more that I could pop in here, I'm sorry, we're so far into this now. The sequel to Barbarella was planned in November 68, and a new version of Barbarella was proposed in the 2000s. Director Robert Rodriguez was interested in developing a version after the release of Sin City. Gaumont International Television announced a pilot for the TV series based on the film by Amazon Studios in 2012. However, nothing has been produced. And the rest I will leave as we get into scenes.
Thank you, Sean. Love you.
Thank you, Sean.
It was amazing. Barbarella.
I already said I don't. The theme is bad. The end theme is worse. Applauders. Let's not mince it. Paramount comes across the screen. And then you get to see this. What's that little instrument that TikTok made me buy? A mandolin? A theremin? That thing you pluck with your fingers?
That was in TikTok. I bought one. And then you were like, oh, I want one too. Because I got one for little Silas. But
no, you bought one for Silas. Didn't I prompt you to buy it for Silas? It's still wrapped over there for him, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We never gave him that Christmas present because 2020 happened.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But it's called a mandolin, right?
No.
Yeah, that's why I'm stuck.
Ukulele?
No, it's a little thumb keyboard.
It's like you'd call it a thumb piano, but it's got fancy name.
Fancy name. Well, we're going to call it a thumb piano because
it's called a kalimba. Huh?
That's right.
Okay. But okay, so we have just seen the Paramount logo, right? Mm-hmm. And then this flying kalimba comes into view.
You can't see this because you're listening to this.
Okay, but imagine it's a little box with a hole, a resonance hole, and then there are three in the spaceship version. Mm-hmm. Three fingers are sticking out and it flies sideways like so.
So you're talking about the spaceship.
Doesn't this look like the spaceship if it was pink?
No.
100% looks like the spaceship if it was pink. Except for like this part. I've been obsessed thinking about it since we started the movie. Still
so
can't play it.
We don't have any kind of theme.
I can't.
That instrument doesn't appear in the theme, right?
Barbarella. It just looks like the spaceship. If obscure applauder, if you know what a kalimba looks like, and you could imagine three fingers sticking out of the side of it, and it was pink.
I kind of disagree. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Anyways, but females in space.
We see a space person floating.
I believe it's called an astronaut.
I've heard it both ways. So the spacesuit is like completely silver, right?
Right.
And it looks like the Danger, Danger Will Robinson robot because the head's all rounded. But also my notes are just like, that's the sexiest gear shift in space.
Do you have a Sean fact?
I have so many Sean facts on this scene. So
okay, we should
let's
describe
talk
that
about
she's,
it.
She's whoosh, whoosh, floating around, removing bits and pieces of her costume.
Yeah, and this is all in the opening theme. So you also have like, I think we do see like you know names flash by at certain
mm-hmm,
points,
mm-hmm. Flying out of helmets. It's animated. Right. They're really cool.
Right. Well, it's like the helmet kind of like shrinks. There's like this visor on the helmet.
At the end. Yeah. It's like it looks like it's filled with liquid, like liquid mercury. It probably was. Whatever. She survived breast cancer later. I'm pretty sure.
It's like draining out. Yeah. And it's like this.
Her hair fills the entire helmet. And she just is like staring forward as this liquid slowly drains out.
Right. And then she takes off the helmet and as she's like throwing her hair back and forth, you see the letters flying about, which I mean, helmet letters. I kind of like that effect.
It looks cool. She takes off a sleeve and a leg and a part of the back thing. And she eventually takes off her. I was staring at it and I was like, how did they get the floating effect? Like really hard because, you know, I like practical effects. And I'm like, there's no way. It's not like they're spending $10 million driving a plane and then dropping and letting them have like 30 seconds of zero G like mm-hmm. they might do these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what is it? And then I realized that she's just rolling around on the floor. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Paint the floor green.
Yeah.
Let her roll around on it. Right? That's got to be it.
You're so close.
Okay.
The scenes where Barbarella seems to float around her spaceship were filmed by having Jane Fonda lie on a huge piece of plexiglass with a picture of the spaceship underneath her. And it was filmed from above, creating the illusion that she was in zero gravity.
Wow. That would explain why like the helmet rolls back to her a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you might just think that it rolled away and rolled back with that kind of force of a circular thing. But mm-hmm. it really does kind of like look like it's attracted to her. And that would make sense if she was on like a pliable or slightly pliable surface for surface like plexiglass. Right. So she'd be concaving it and it would come back to her, right?
As that helmet starts emptying all that goo out of it, you can actually see a camera reflected in the helmet.
I will tell you, it's boobies number one.
Yeah, because she gets real naked.
Oh, here's the last scene from Sean, or last note from Sean for this scene. Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, spoofs Barbarella's opening credits with the same name on private parts gag.
It's pretty good. You don't get any vaheen in this film, you know? Like, you get the boobs.
Right.
And this is boobs number one. Mm-hmm. And it's the titular character's boobs. So right. I'm like, hey now, let's buckle up.
Yeah.
Because she's unbuckling everything.
She is. And after she gets fully undressed, there's a phone call coming in. And it's the president of Earth. And she's just, you know, still naked, talking to the president.
Mr. President, I'll go put some clothes on. No matter. This is the most important.
Right. Showing that, you know, in the year 40,000, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yep. He salutes her first off, puts his hand up, and he's like, love. And she's all like topless, and she's like, love.
Tells her that someone has created a weapon. And they need her and her talents to go ahead and get it back.
Locate the scientist, Duran Duran.
That's a band.
Yeah, except he's got like a French accent. So it sounds like Durant Durant. Except I trust Duran Duran to have done their research.
Yeah.
Duran Duran. Is that how they also say it?
They, I don't know. There are times when I hear her saying it. I think she's saying it Duran Duran. But I think it's supposed to be Duran Duran, as in the band took their name from this movie.
Is there a Sean fact on this at all?
That is a Sean fact. And that's not his name. It's his name is Rio, as he dances in the sand. Or maybe they're just hungry like the wolf. That's the only things I know of.
There's a few villains in this movie that are hungry like the wolf. But they also have a song called Electric Barbarella.
I need to put that on my Spotify. Don't let me forget.
I'll text it to you right now. Tick, 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 tick,
tick, tick. Fantastic. Okay, so she's like, he's like, they're on an undeveloped planet. They still have evil and war. And she's like, what? They haven't evolved past a neurotic state of irresponsibility? Right, isn't it? A neurotic state of irresponsibility?
Yeah, I think she might have said childish at the beginning of it. Evolved past a childish state.
Neurotic state of irresponsibility. Oh, anyways, he's like, okay, here's some weapons. And he transports them to her, which seems like much more important technology.
Yeah, like he gives her this a homing beacon so she can find the scientist Duran Duran.
She touches it. She's like, oh, a mouth box.
And then he hands her all of these.
Oh, a tongue box. Oh, a mouth box would be... all of it's bad.
Yeah.
Just in terms of that one invention.
And then he teleports all these different weapons her way. And she like pulls them out and she's carrying all of them. And
she's like disgusted at having to have weapons at all. Mm-hmm. And she kind of protests for a second. And he's like, you have to do it. You have to do it this way. And then he says, how do you read me? And she goes, straight, right? And my notes are like, doubt.
Sus.
Sus, sorry. and then he clicks away, right? Mm-hmm. So she's got coordinates or whatever. It's a really kind of wordy scene for a movie that does not care about words later on. But she's standing there and then she says the line, armed like a naked savage.
Oh.
Did it make you hurt a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, it's real outdated. There's a couple times
where they talk about that. They
use language that is so outdated for us that I get why you said it, but you are all super cool with being like naked around, and that's just a casual thing that you can do. But the second you make someone dangerous, you equate them to a civilization you don't understand.
Right.
And if you want to hear me rant, cry, rage, and scream about that, please watch listen to our movie review of The 13th Warrior.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to hear what Sean thinks on Shock Talk about it, which I'll have already listened to by the time you're hearing this.
So then Barbarella goes behind a screen. They're putting in the coordinates for the planet. Mm-hmm. And so she gets changed.
The robot, the ship's voice.
It sounds like a lispy gay man, like a, like, you know how in the late 1980s and early 1990s, how you would get that stereotype of the lispy gay man?
It's been like the dainty stereotype, the the dandy stereotype forever.
Yeah.
Just talk like this, and it's this effeminate and yet obviously male voice. Just and he's like, "Yes, Barbarella, the duration of the trip will be 156 hours," and she's like, "Oh, wake me up in 154 hours." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "All right, Barbarella, nighty night."
She takes a pill to go to sleep. And she has this outfit on that is, you know, trying to cover up something, but it's not really doing much of a job.
It's boobs out.
Yeah.
But they don't count as boobs if they're covered by something more than a cobweb. So, sorry, it's not your boobs number two, but you'll have to suffice that 4 minutes ago, we got boobs number one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, and
the lip sync in this scene is bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She also, like, lays down on this, like, it must have been that plexiglass.
Or some sort of latex or plastic sheeting.
Yeah, because she lays down and the camera's right underneath her. It's all clear and, like, you get full-on boobs.
But they're double-covered boobs, so they don't count on her boob count.
Oh, that's okay. But still, you can see nipple.
Yeah.
So.
And she just falls asleep. Pills on. She falls asleep. I was trying to calculate how long 154 hours is. 6.4 days. So she sleeps for a week and then the computer comes back on and it's like, I forget. Wake up, Barbarella. It's time to take nutrients.
Yeah.
He says a little sing song about it. He's just like, he should have been something like 1, 2, 3, 4, Barbarella off the floor. But I didn't bother to write down what he actually said.
And she like takes a sip of something and she's like visibly like,
it's purple and she doesn't finish it. And I'm like, ew.
Right. This is kind of like our first glimpse at like, oh, no, the future is trying to make things a lot more easier and a lot more compact. And maybe it's not the best thing. But we already know from being in the future that liquid diets are not a thing that our body actually, you know, digests properly.
You just don't have as much joy in that, I don't think. Even the people I know who are toothless like to chew on some stuff.
Well, no, I mean, like, if in the nutrition or the diet industry, there are people who will try and promote these protein drinks.
Yeah.
And it's like always like it's always trying to like make it as like this is the only thing you have to have in order to get all of your like roughage and your nutrients and everything.
Oh.
But it's never satisfying because our bodies weren't evolved to, you know, drink drinks all of the time. So you really do need to have a well-rounded diet of like protein of some kind and
yeah, otherwise
vegetables.
We'd be the aliens from What, Mac and Me?
Yeah.
Diarrhea in space does not sound fun.
Yeah.
So, hey, why don't we crash this spaceship in what I like to think of as more interesting ways to die?
Yeah, so she comes
number
up,
one.
She comes up onto the planet, and there's like this gravitational pull, and everything's just jittering all over the place. Ooh.
It's that old great like Star Trek effect where the camera is shaking and people are moving around the scene.
The room genuinely moves at one point.
Oh, really?
It must have been on some sort of gyroscopic apparatus because not like a full 360, but you do see her like physically move and the objects in the room move as if they're being moved too. It's not just her like stumbling around a la Star Trek and being like, oh, Romulans off the starboard bow.
Now I just imagine like 20 gaffers outside just shaking it.
Yeah. That is more true to life.
Yeah.
I think. And they must have been like, all right, Vinny, let's push the thing. Because, like, it's lip synced and it's bad.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, what about, oh, the stabilizers. Except her mouth is like.
And then her ship crashes on a planet.
Yeah. So she has, like, costume change number 3. Because it was, like, space suit. And then it was a boo-boo form. And now she's in space cape and sequins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. It's probably my second favorite outfit. Maybe third favorite outfit.
Right.
But then she climbs. Okay, she goes out of the ship, looks around, is like, I think I found the problem.
There's a hole in the ship.
There's a huge freaking pizza-sized hole in the ship. And she's like, And then as she's like walking and like looking around and she slips on the ice a little bit, which was pretty good because she's landed on a frozen lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, little girls show up, all of, come play with us, Danny.
They're twins.
Forever.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's a Shining reference. It doesn't really matter. I make them all the time.
But they're essentially twins, mm-hmm. and she doesn't understand what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And then one of them like picks up a rock and covers it in snow and throws it at her.
Yes. She's like, parlez-vous français? And they're like, gleep, glorp, nip, nop. Zip, zap, zop, zippity doo, Jim Carrey.
For that reference, you should go and check out our episode on Earth Girls Are Easy.
And they are in this movie.
This movie. Oh, no. Okay. So they knock her out, put her on skis. She wakes up, and now she's standing on skis, and she's like, I haven't gone skiing in ages. And I mean, I didn't watch this as a comedy the first time. And I sometimes find myself being like, oh, right, this is a comedy when I rewatch it, you know?
Her skis are getting pulled by a snow space stingray.
Yes. And she talks, she's like, oh, I have to fix my tongue box because they're neep norp nip nopping at her, right?
Yeah.
But like, she doesn't.
No. And she doesn't get a chance because they throw a rock at her.
Yes. This ice ray is pretty cool looking, actually, even if it does have eyelashes. It's a little phalange at the edge of an actual stingray's eyeball, mm-hmm. but it looks like little fake eyelashes. So it looks like a very effeminate flippity flappity latex stingray that they then use to drag them around whatever storage house floor they've transformed into this ice planet.
So did these creepy girls give the stingray a makeover?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
They're very interested in the aesthetic. They make a big deal about showing her being dragged around a lot. And then they show up at a crashed spaceship, the Alpha One. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, this is Duran Duran's ship. Mm-hmm. And then they bring her inside where she's greeted by a number of children.
Creepy children.
Like, they are all twins.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty impressive. That mm-hmm. must have been interesting.
Yeah.
And then they tie her to some poles.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Then they pull out a series of creepy dolls. And then they just sort of like let the dolls loose. And they do this. The dolls do the slow walk. And their mouths go. Nang, 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 nang,
which
nang,
leads us to more interesting ways to die. Number two. Evil doll awesome death bites.
These dolls seem hungry like a wolf.
There you go.
So, and really, they just sort of gnaw on her a little bit, and
she gets a little bit of cuts, but mostly her costume gets chewed off.
Yeah.
And that's a theme.
Yeah.
That's a whole theme.
Yeah. And so, like, it feels like this scene just kind of drags on for, like, longer than it should.
Yeah.
But then it eventually ends because a guy shows up, and he's like, hey, stop that. Stop. Or he's doing it in the language. But you can tell he's, like, trying to get the kids to stop whatever they're
Shyamala,
doing.
Shyamala, hip-hop, nerp, nap, petunia.
He, like, pulls out a net, and him and his guys just sort of throw it over the kids.
His companions, these big leathery guys, have whips that go, ah! And all the kids, and it's funny, did you watch the faces on the kids? I've talked about it before. Kid actors in like group scenes, mm-hmm. people can't hold it together. So they're supposed to be terrified because they're being captured in this net. But I was looking at this one kid from a set of twins, and he's like, like super delighted to be caught in a net.
Yeah.
I thought it was very cute.
And that lady's almost naked over there.
I'm seeing boobs. I'm a movie star. I got this cool outfit.
I'm taking home one of these dolls with me. Consolation.
So he's in a big fur suit. Mm-hmm. And he goes over, he starts to untie her. This bearded man, this golden, red-haired, like majestic guy.
Mm-hmm. Just, straight off of a brawny package.
100%. He starts to like untie her, ties her feet. She's like coming to because apparently blood loss stops if a guy shows up to save the day.
Yeah.
And
gets the dolls away from her, and then he like picks her up and carries her out.
First,
style.
She holds up her hands to him so that he'll untie her wrist. He gazes upon her hand and then kisses it,
and she's like, "No, no, no, untie my wrist." He's like, "Oh."
Well, she just kind of gestures. She's like, "Mm-mm." He's like, "Oh, right, untie the restraints are bad right now." And so, as he's untying her, she starts fiddling with her wristband, mm-hmm. her Duran Duran detector that actually also happens to hold a tongue box.
Yeah,
hate it so. He's talking while he's untying her, and he's like, blah, 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 zip, nir, mur, pur, rah, rah, flundle, pictures, spun, alien words, rah, rah, rah,
rah. Which are also not dubbed correctly for his mouth.
So finally she hits the right frequency, and he's just like, and so, and none of the conversation matters.
Are you okay?
Yeah. And she slips as he's talking to her, and he carries her outside where he sits her down and is like, "You see, our children are let free to grow on the ice.
Until they're old enough to be put towards servitude."
Yeah, until they're of serviceable age, I believe is the words he uses. Gross.
Yeah.
Child slavery. Okay. Mm-hmm. That did not make my list of awesome ways to die, by the way.
No.
Nope. So she's like, "Do you know where I could find Duran Duran?" And he's all like, "Probably over at that city, like the one city on the planet, probably there. But I don't go there because I'm not that guy. But I'll take you to your ship if you want. But I'm not going to the city. And I don't want to, I mean, I don't know anything about Duran Duran. But if there is a Duran Duran, he's at the city."
Yeah.
He's like, "I'll take you back to your ship." And she's all like, "Awesome. I wish there was something I could do for you."
Yeah, he puts her into his like little sled and he pulls back and there's like this little cabin area and everything. And she's just sitting on like this whole like throw of furs and everything. Mm-hmm. And she just says, "You know, well, I wish there was something I could do for you." And he was like, "Oh, yes, there is something you could do." And that's when we learn that on Earth in 4,000 years, people don't have sex with their bits. They have sex with pills. And they put up their hands.
You do that? Only the poor who can't afford pills do it. Well, the rest, I have some pills. He's like, "No, I don't want that." And and he's like, "I want to make love." She's like, "Ew, call it making love."
Yeah. And so, she eventually agrees, but she just sort of like lays down. He's like, no, you got to take your clothes off. She's like, "All right."
The pills are called exaltation transference pills. And then she lays down to starfish him.
Yeah.
If you're familiar, she just lays down to be like,
"Okay, yeah, whatever.
Let it happen. Like, let this thing." And he's like, "Without your garments, please." And she's like, oh, yeah. She's ever accommodating. She's like, "Oh, yes." And she starts to take off her clothes. And then he goes to take off his clothes. Oh. How did you feel about that, Lydia?
Okay, so it was at this point where I call him half chewy. And this is my note. He doesn't need that first layer. He's got enough on that second layer.
It looked like... My face hurts. Okay. It looks like somebody tore tufts off of the outfit he was wearing and then glued it immediately to his chest.
It's an Austin Powers chest.
Yeah, he is not lacking in the hairy chest department. But luckily, we only see that 6 inches of chest as he moves towards her. And then we cut to him like putting his clothes back on.
No, we don't. We cut to the outside of the of the sled.
Right.
And it's just going all over the ice field.
You know the baby elephant walk song?
Yeah.
Right. That's the it doesn't matter what the actual song is. It's what was going through my head as this little solar, like the fan to blow the sail is on the thing. And the physics doesn't work for me. And I don't know how to explain it, but it doesn't matter. They just go in cattywampus circles around her broken ship as they bang.
And it's totally a model viewed from the distance with a little remote.
Yeah, it's either an RC car or it's being controlled with like a magnet underneath. It's obviously not actually. It's a miniature set.
Yeah.
100%.
And then we cut back to him putting his clothes on. And when we see Barbarella, she's just laying and she's just.
He's exhibitioning for us.
Yeah.
Expositioning. He's already exposed.
Expositing.
He's expositing. He's already exhibitioned us. Now he's expositing. And she's not paying attention. She's paying less attention than I am. And she's like, la da da dee, la da da da. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't seem. I mean, like, I don't know. It's been a long time since I had my virginity.
So then they get to her ship and he's like, I see the problem with your ship is it has a giant hole in it.
Oh, and she's wearing that way. He's like, since your clothes were destroyed, you can wear any of my furs. And she picks out the thing that looks like a knockoff labyrinth puppet.
Yeah.
And she like takes its head off, makes a pretty cool skunk looking outfit, but has like the longest tail on it, which is now a gag for the next 4 minutes. She steps out of the cab of his vessel and she's like,
yeah.
She dances around. He touches the ship to point at the boo-boo. And then she's like, well, bye. And he's all like, maybe we can see each other again. She's like, oh, maybe we can. After my business is done. It's throwaway garbage. But that scene ends with her tail getting caught in the door as it shuts.
So the door for her ship is one of those iris doors. When her tail gets caught in it, it's just kind of like shrinks on the tail. Mm-hmm. And then she has to like open it again and pull it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first gag of it.
I think it's a pretty good gag.
Yeah. And then she's like, you know, wistfully going through her ship and like, oh, you know.
She trips on her tail and she's like, I have to get rid of that tail.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I think the ship is talking. We costume change number 4 or something. There's like 100 costume changes in this. Apparently the ship is okay enough for her to try to drive it.
Right. Because she's not going into space. She's just trying to fly to the city.
Right.
You've now touched down at the conclusion of part one of our review of 1968's Barbarella, a Plotter. Thank you for joining us in our discussion of this surreal 60s sci-fi comedy. We'd also like to invite you to listen to a couple more Frolic.media shows that we've recently started listening to. The Society of the Weird and Terrifying is a fully sound-designed modern Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And The Shipping Room pays homage to the best and worst ships that TV has to offer. You can find links to these shows in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and dispensary supplier of Exaltation Transference Pellets, Jen. Did you know that Shocked and Applaud has unbleeped episodes? Visit shockedandapplaud.com and click on the Become an Applauder link at the top to find out how you can listen to every episode in our catalog, unbleeped for only $1 per month. We'll be back this Tuesday for part 2 of our review of this 60s cult classic. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.